welcome to the program. We continue today in our series on dealing with our feelings, especially those who are involved in pastoring a small church or the people that are sincerely trying to serve the Lord in the small church. Dealing with our feelings in the small church. Previous message, we were looking at the fact that a wrong understanding of God's purpose for the local church can lead to some serious discouragement. Today we're going to look at the unscriptural focus on numbers can also lead to a serious discouragement, especially in the small church. Before we look at that, we're going to listen to this message in song, "Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth." That's what David said in Psalm 86, verse number 11. "Teach me thy way, and I will walk in thy truth." Now, if you're going to refuse to walk in the way that God says to walk, there's no sense praying for God to teach you anything. But if we're willing, as the hymn writer has said, "Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word," he goes on to say, "whate'er seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea." Let's make this our sincere prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through all my days. Teach thou my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Keep me to live, to die.
mentioned a wrong understanding of God's purpose for the local church can lead to some serious discouragement. Being wrong always has results. The first time we see the word wrong mentioned in the Bible, it had to do with Sarah and Abraham, when Sarah said in Genesis 16 and 15, "My wrong be upon thee." And you remember that, you know, she told Abraham, "Take in my handmaid, have a child by her." Oh, she says, "My wrong be upon thee." Well, I'm not too sure they don't both share in that. Some, but as a result of them being wrong, there's results. And all of these battles that are going on in the Middle East today are a result of the wrong thinking that was going on back there concerning Sarah and Abraham. And they've been fighting because they're both sons of Abraham. They've been fighting ever since about who's who over there in the Middle East. What I said is correct. Being wrong brings results, whether that's on a national scale or whether that's in our local churches. Now, God's purpose for the local church, we said, is not reaching lost people. It is teaching saved people. Now, the Bible is very plain about this, and don't get excited about it until you hear me out. I'm not saying that reaching lost people is not important. I'm saying, whose responsibility is it? The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Go. When you're going to go somewhere, you're going to travel in order to engage in a specific activity or some course of action. What is the activity? What is the course of action? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible doesn't command any unsaved person to come to church to hear the gospel. We are commanded as individual Christians, be we pastor or people, to go into the world and tell them about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world. God's purpose for the local church is not reaching lost people, it is teaching saved people. Those who are saved, and you can listen to our previous program, we won't go into all of those message again, but the responsibility of the pastor in the local church is to teach Christians what God's Word says. So, as we said, being wrong about all of that and trying to use the church to reach numbers is going to bring some discouragement. And looking in specifically in today's message, we want to look at the numbers situation, and thinking that numbers has something to do with success is going to bring discouragement. What happens if we put our focus on numbers? A focus is an act of concentrating our interest or activity on something, and so we're going to concentrate on growing numerically, when really what the local church is there for is growing spiritually with those that we have, be that at 1 or 2 or 6 or 10 or 200 people. Our purpose in the local church is to teach Christians. Now, when we come to this area of dealing with our feelings, especially in the small church, we read that David said in Psalm 119 and verse 141, "I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts." I am small and despised. Oh, he was despised, all right. 1 Samuel 17 and 28, David was despised by his brother for being looking after what he called in 1 Samuel 17:28 those few sheep in the wilderness. Now, they put David out in the backside of the desert, gave him some scrawny sheep back there that they probably didn't care too much about, and they said, "We'll get them out of our hair. You can go out there and look after those few sheep." And he was despised, unfortunately, not by that unsaved world out there. He was despised by his brother, and he was despised by all of his brothers. Well, we find here these few sheep in the wilderness. What did David do? He said, "I'll be the best possible shepherd I can ever be." And while he had time out there on his hands with only a few sheep, he learned how to use a slingshot. And when it came to it, he said, I looked after that little group of sheep when the lion came and when the bear came." He said in 1 Samuel 17 and 36, he said, "I killed them both." How did he do that? because he was sincerely interested in looking after the few sheep that God had given to him. Well, the Bible says, who despises the day of small things? Zechariah 4:10. Well, David's brothers despise the day of small things, and so do a lot of Christians today and fundamentalists today, if you happen to have a small church. Well, if you may feel despised by some of the people in our group because your church is small, rejoice in the fact that you are not despised by God. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord. That word little has been translated few 23 times. Better is few with the fear of the Lord. Zechariah 13:7-9 says, God said, I will turn mine hand upon the little ones and will refine them as silver is refined. Proverbs 16:8, the Bible says, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Jesus said in Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. He also said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When we look at those seven churches in the first part of the book of the Revelation, we see the church at Philadelphia. He said, thou hast a little strength. And if you read about that church, you'll see they were highly commended for what they were doing. The church at Sardis, he said, thou hast a few names. And if you read that, you'll find that that church was highly commended for what it was doing. The church at Laodicea, he said, thou hast increased, and they were sharply rebuked for what they were not doing. In Luke 19:17, he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. He commended his servant for being faithful in that which is a little. And so don't be discouraged because your church is small. I mentioned previously, I've been across this country more times than I can remember. I preached in churches 30 years ago that had 30 people, and now 30 years later they still have 30 people. That doesn't make them failures. What makes us failures is when we quit, when we refuse to be good stewards and being found faithful in what God has given us to do. Whether it's considered by some as a few sheep out in the wilderness or whatever, take the few sheep and be the best shepherd you can possibly be. God's purpose for the local church is to exalt Christ, to equip Christians, and to equip those Christians to go out and evangelize Christ rejectors. When you look in the scriptures concerning building, in the scriptures, it's always spiritual and not numerical. Jude 1:20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. 2 Corinthians 5:1, we have a building of God and house not made with hands. 1 Corinthians 3:9, ye are God's building. Back in the Laodicean age of apostasy, we find in Revelation 3:14 that the pastor of the church did not take his God-given responsibilities. He set the standards of the Word of God aside. He took the standards of the world in an effort to increase the attendance. The standards of the world today are being accepted when it comes to music, when it comes to dress. We'll just set those aside because if we talk about those things, we're going to hinder the increase in attendance. Pastors today, many, if not most of the pastors in our so-called fundamental independent Baptist churches, cannot say with Paul the Apostle in Acts 20:27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so perhaps today you're listening and you're the pastor of a small church. You feel like you're out in the wilderness with a few sheep. Perhaps you're the sincere church member that's in one of those churches across this country or across any country. What is a church? A church is people. A church is there so that the pastor can build those people spiritually. Take those few sheep and be the best shepherd you possibly can. Defend them from the lions. Defend them from the bears. Defend them from the enemies that would infiltrate their homes and destroy those Christians. And so the question is asked, who hath despised the day of small things? Rejoice in the fact that God has not. He said, better is little with the fear of the Lord.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, flat-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee. Sin and disgrace, such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading and give Him my all. Life. was too